Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is paid commercial programming. The views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors. Yeah, it's time to hop on the crazy train.
All aboard!
Welcome to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors, presented by Coleman Insect Repellents. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All aboard! You're on the crazy train with the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors with Deluxe Danny Bush and myself, Tommy the True Neubauer, and Greg Janik as our producer, who's there every week. We come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. You can always call us with questions or comments at 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. And even though I forgot to give you our email address, which is ceoguys@yahoo.com, Lowrider did send an email. And Lowrider, I know you're missing, and I have to laugh. You have to forgive my dyslexia. As I was running through all that stuff I had to mail last week, I was screwing up a few things. And anyway, Lowrider says, "Hi, guys. Thanks for the mini mites. They did get here. The postwoman knows my name and address, even when it was a little goofed up. High is not spelled a different way, and angle is not spelled angel. And the zip code," he corrects the zip code. "I was laughing when you were talking about this. I have lived here for over 40 years and know how to spell my name for 55 years. I sure enjoy your show. Have a good holiday." Well, Lowrider, you have a great Thanksgiving, too, and sorry about that confusion. You know, when I mailed it, I said to the post lady was telling me, "Oh, this is the wrong address. This is the wrong zip code." She put the other zip code on, I think. I think you saw it handwritten there by, you know, different ink. Anyway, and I said, "Well, mail it anyway. Maybe they know the person by name and we'll get it there." And sure enough, the post lady did. Good for her. Give her a high five when you see her for me, Lowrider. And sorry about that little problem, but I'm glad you got the mini mics. Also, don't forget, folks, after the 7:15 break, we will be playing the NFL football picking contest, that's sponsored by Curly's Waterfront Pub, and you will win a $10 gift certificate out there. Now, Danny, you wanted to bring up something else. You said just when we went into the break.
Well,
remember what it was?
No, but I got this I want to ask you.
All right.
I'm going to tap your vast knowledge now, Tom. They're talking that the Fox River, I guess they've been doing really well up in Green Bay for the walleyes this fall lately. Mm-hmm. They've been moving in, and based on reports I hear, they've been getting them in the 8 to 16 foot range right on in the channel or right on the channel break. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about hair jig. Mm-hmm. They're talking about jig and plastic ringworm style.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, what is a jig and plastic ringworm style? What are they talking about?
I wish I had one to show you. A ringworm is a plastic worm that looks like it's got rings around it. That's all. I wish.
Like a candy cane?
No, not colored rings, but there's like a middle part that's straight, and then there's these round plastic rings over it, you know, like little pie plates over it. I mean, it I'd have to show it to you.
I'm having a hard time picturing El Guapo.
I don't know if I can even draw a picture of it.
Well, that wouldn't help our listeners. So it's ringworm style.
Yeah, okay. But here's the thing.
Okay, go ahead.
When it comes to plastics, whether it be ringworm style, curly tail style, shad style, just a plastic worm style, whatever, you know, round, straight, whatever, they all work. As a matter of fact, one of my favorites, and of course, don't forget the jigging minnow. You know, that works too. And this time of year in the fall, I have fished up there so much in the fall. I haven't been up there in a few years in the fall, but I have put many, many, many hours up there. Crankbaits are great in the fall. The plastics are great, and you can catch them not just on those break lines in 16 to 18 feet, which you do have a lot of breaks, but you can catch them up in 3, 4, 5 feet of water, too.
Well, they did mention crankbaits, and they said the brighter colors, chartreuse, fire tiger, the brighter colors, which...
Yeah, because it's dark water up there.
I'll be honest with you. I've always loved, I'll tell you what, the fire tiger and my top, if I had one colored crankbait to go with the rest of my life, clown.
Oh, clown's a great color.
Love clown, man.
But, you know, in that water is pretty dark up there.
Right.
And if you're fishing in the deeper water, let's say you're down in that 16, 18, 20 feet of water, to tell you the truth, I don't think they can see a color down there. I really don't. As a matter of fact, even when you're up in, you know, in the 4 or 5 feet of water, I don't know if they can even see a color, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's pretty dark water. It's pretty dingy. So whether or not they can see it, I mean, I've used crankbaits of all colors. As a matter of fact, you know, like, because you're going to lose some lures up there, you know, especially in the shallower water.
Right,
you're
going
to lose lures. So I lose one. I just grabbed the next one. I wouldn't really even care about the color so much as long. I mean, because the colors that I have in the box, there might be 5, 6 different colors. I know they're all going to work. I know they're all good.
Tip to avoid snags and losing lures might be to remove a hook. Sometimes there are some tricks I know.
On that
guys
bottom
have done.
Treble, you
yeah,
take there, one there, of the hooks off.
Yeah, there are some things that a guy can probably do. Let me ask you the next question. Hair jig. They're mentioning hair jig.
Hair jigs have made a big comeback now in the last several
years. Is
that
the same thing they were talking about, like for smallies in the spring up in Door County and stuff? And I showed you a couple hair jigs that I bought, and you said, no, they were the wrong ones, that I had ones that were too big this year.
Were they? I don't remember.
I think you told me you got to get the smaller size.
Well, for the smallies up there, you know, up to about a quarter ounce hair jig is about all you have to go.
Okay.
You know, eighth to a quarter ounce. Now, on the river, on the Fox River, and I've been hearing some reports, too, on the rivers that, like the Rock River, it's been a little slower there. Some guys are catching fish, but generally catching a lot of short ones. Wisconsin River up by the Dells is doing really good below the dam. And north up by Nakusa, they're doing good up there. And, of course, the Fox River, you're always going to catch walleyes there. Okay.
Now,
but here's the thing.
Okay.
In the spring, you get those egg-laden females. You might get a 12 or 14-pounder.
Right.
In the fall, okay, you're not going to get those monsters, but you're going to get some big fish.
Well, they said, I think I read 18 to 22 inch. They're getting a lot of it. Said if you want to get some for the freezer now is the time to go do it. So you get some good eating size ones. Let me ask you on a hair jig, though, because I know they were big on the early season smallies, I guess, when they're finicky and not hitting anything, cold water. Hair jig is pretty light. Are you just going to be able to just vertically fish it? Or are you making long casts somehow? How do you fish a hair jig? Do they suck it in on the way down? What
depends on the structure you're fishing. I mean, if you're fishing a rock ledge or something, and you're casting up to 4 or 5 feet of water and then working it down an edge down to where it breaks at, let's say 10 feet or whatever.
Right.
I mean, there you're going to be, you know, hopping it. You might get hung up in the rocks a little bit, but if it's a gravelly area, you're generally hopping it. I have never used a hair jig vertical jigging in the rivers that have a lot of current.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
I've never done that because you have to go heavier.
You've got to
go heavier. So generally, the lighter jigs on the bay or on natural inland lakes, you know, for walleyes. I mean, you know, the thing is that if you're using a jigging minnow or a hair jigging minnow, I think the fish are going to bite either one.
You're going to need light generally light line, I would think, if you're throwing a hair jig, long limber rod to get it out there and cast.
Not if it's an eighth ounce or quarter ounce.
Well, you can still chuck it.
Oh, yeah, you can get it.
Now for smallies, I imagine they just smack it, and there's no doubt when they hit it. And walleyes, a little more subtle hit?
Not really. Walleyes will smack that sucker, too. You know, they'll just suck it right in and start swimming away.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Looks like such a simple little, like as a kid going through, I grew up with daredevils and Rapalas for pike mostly, and I'd look at some little jig with hair on it, and I thought, that's a piece of crap.
Yeah, no, you know, those have been around for years. Hair jigs have been made for years. Matter of fact, mainly for panfish. You know, you got the little pink and white marabou jigs
and they're so simple and cheap.
Oh, yeah, they
are. But they work.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of things will work. You see, that's just it. There's a lot of things that'll work. And sometimes we anglers can overload our boat with tackle boxes full of all these different things that we read about and hear about and see on TV. And then when you get out there, I knew this one guy, he could recite to you like Bassmaster magazine verse for verse, right? Every issue, right? He knew it all. You'd ask him a question, you have great answers. But when you put him on the water,
couldn't catch squat.
He couldn't catch it. He wasn't sure what to use, where to use it, and how to use it.
He's overthinking it, I'll try this newfangled thing, or do I try this super technique, or do I grab this?
Overthinking it.
And he'd probably try one thing for 5 minutes, and if that didn't work, he's going to the next hot bite.
And I just saw something new. Now they're coming at, your jerk baits, your solid, husky jerk and whatever.
Super rogue.
Yeah.
Okay. Suspending rogue.
Well, now they're coming out with the soft plastic jerk baits. Now, they've been around for a long time.
Like flukes, right?
Like flukes. Or remember the banjo minnow?
The banjo minnow.
Remember that? Yeah. Okay, so these have been around for a long time, but they were always hooked with a jig with a hook on it, piece of lead with a hook sticking out of it.
Yep.
Well, these new ones, of course, coming out of Japan, they got a system where there's like a piece of plastic in the head on an angle, and your line is run through that plastic that's in this plastic lure, the bait, the plastic
stick bait.
It doesn't really suspend because it's plastic. But anyway, you run your line through and you tie it, put a treble hook on it, and put one of the hooks in the belly, right, up near the head. And now you're casting that out. Well, okay, it is something different. It's a different way of rigging it. But the bait itself, the lure itself is not different. They've been around for years. You know, Danny, there's so many of these lures have been around so long in musky fishing, walleye fishing, bass fishing, whatever kind of fishing it is. There's just like different techniques may be used with them or different rigging possibilities, and that's what's different. The lures themselves aren't changing all that much.
And they've been around so long, one comes out and you forget that that existed years ago.
It was years ago. Yeah, it was a long time ago. Right. Hey, listen, we got to go to a break, but when we come back, we are going to play the NFL football picking contest brought to you by Curly's Waterfront Pub on beautiful Pewaukee Lake. And over at Curly's, you know, they got all the TVs set up. They got great food over there. And, of course, the drinks don't change too much, especially if you're a beer drinker. But anyway, they got a lot of TVs. They got a lot of great food. And you can get a $10 gift certificate by playing the NFL football picking contest. All you have to do is tie or beat any one of us three, and you're going to get a $10 gift certificate.
Which you always will.
Well, yeah, that's right.
And 99.99.
And I think last week I really sucked. So anyway, give us a call at 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. Play the NFL football picking contest, and you will be the big winner. We'll be right back with more with Dan and Tom and Greg and here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. It is now time here on 105.7 FM, The Fan and the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors for the NFL football picking contest. And folks, I really want to give away this $10 gift certificate to Curly's Waterfront Pub. And we need a caller, 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. We need a contestant to play the game with us so that you can win that $10 gift certificate. And I'll tell you what, if we don't get a contestant, Greg and Danny, we're going to use that gift certificate. Okay, maybe not you, Greg, because you might not want to drive out there.
Not that far.
No, that's true.
Pewaukee's
I think if far. If we split a $10 gift certificate, we can get a beer, right?
Probably. I don't even know of that.
I don't know. Well, no, they're not that expensive out there. They're not expensive, no. So anyway, 799-1250, and we're just waiting for somebody to give us a call, Greg. So while we wait, here we go. We got our contestant. So, Danny, we can talk a little bit while Greg is finding out who we have on the line. And after 7:30, I'll be telling you folks about a guy who caught a 47-inch muskie in a very unusual manner. And I'll tell you about that after the 7:30 break. But right now, we're going to be playing the NFL football picking contest, and I'll tell you, last week, I think I sucked. So, we got our contestant. Oh, sure, now all the lights light up. Okay, take it away, Greg.
All right, we have Jim from West Dallas on the line. He will be our contestant. Last week, Tom, you went 0-4.
I thought I did bad.
That brings your season record to 15-26. Okay. Bushy, on the other hand, went 4-0.
Holy moly!
Bringing his.
Did you talk to the no-name bookie or something?
Bringing his season record to 21-20.
Wow.
I went 2-2. I am hovering right around 500 at 20-21. And our caller went 3-1.
Wow.
To now bring the caller's season record to 21-20.
Woo! I'm on top of the heap.
You are fight. You are.
What's going to happen if the callers win?
Well, they get an attaboy.
No, I'm talking about for the season.
Yeah, for the season, they get an attaboy, I guess.
They get nothing, is what he's saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
All right, we got Jim from West Dallas on the line.
Yeah, let's put him on.
How's it going, Jim?
Good.
Oh, you're there. Hi, Jim.
Yep, bye.
Okay, you know how we play this game, right?
Sure.
All right. Take it away, Greg.
All right, we're going to start off in the college ranks. The Wisconsin Badgers have a huge matchup facing the Michigan Wolverines. Wisconsin is giving Michigan 7.5 points. Jim, who you got?
Badgers.
All righty. Tommy.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jim. If Wisconsin does not turn the ball over, they will win by 2 touchdowns. So I will go with the Badgers.
Bushy?
Michigan.
Saying Wisconsin is not going to turn the ball over is probably not a very good thing. That hasn't been going well lately, but I'm going to go with Wisconsin because Michigan has no offense to speak of whatsoever.
Right. So.
All right, next game we have is Detroit at Chicago. Detroit is giving Chicago 3 points. Jim, who you got?
Lions.
All righty. Bushy.
Lions.
Tommy?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Detroit, too. I think it's up to the quarterbacks on that one.
I'll make it a clean sweep across the board. I will also go with Detroit. Next game on the docket, which is, believe it or not, one of the best games in the NFL this weekend, the Los Angeles Rams at the Minnesota Vikings. Who would have thought that when the season began? Minnesota is giving the Rams 2.5 points. Jim, what's it? All right. Tommy?
I think this is the Vikings' downfall. I think the Rams will pull it out. God, I hope so. Yeah, Rams.
Bushy? Can't go with wishful thinking, Tom. Vikings.
I know. Well, I'm sucking anyway this year, so.
I'm going to go with the Rams as well. Rams are looking very good lately, and I think that defense is going to stifle Case Keenum. Final game of the docket. Brett Hundley and the Green Bay Packers looking for their second straight win, looking to stay in the hunt for the playoffs. Green Bay is getting 2 from Baltimore.
Good.
Jim, who you got?
Ravens.
All righty. Bushy.
Ooh, that's up in Lambeau, right?
It is up at Lambeau.
Getting Green Bay is giving 2 points.
Green Bay is getting 2 points.
Green Bay is getting 2 points. I will say Green Bay.
Tommy?
Well, here's the thing. This is a tough one, but I am going to go with Green Bay only because – The Packers will have two picks, and Flacco isn't what he used to be. Hundley, I hope, is a little bit better. I hope he's getting better every week, and the Packers really need this win. But I'm not being a homer here. I really actually think the Packers will pull this out. I really think they will.
All right.
Especially being at home, Greg.
I'm going to go in Baltimore.
Okay. Well, you know, they've always built their teams on defense. Yeah, they still got a decent defense, but it's not like what they used to be. Flacco's not what he was. Or,
well,
he never, yeah.
If the Packers secondary can give up 300 yards to Mitchell Trubisky.
I know. That's scary.
I think Baltimore's offense is going to do a lot more than that. So.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, stay on the line. We need to get more of your info.
Yeah, good luck, Jim.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Yeah, I don't know. I still think, though, that Flacco's going to throw a few picks. Because, you know, they're throwing the ball downfield. Hopefully we get a couple picks. That's what I'm counting on,
I guess. If they do throw a couple picks, I still think that the Packers' defense is not looking good.
I know. They're secondary. Well,
their secondary is atrocious.
I know. That's the problem, you know. But we'll see what happens. I'm still rooting for them.
Oh, yeah.
They always got a chance.
They're your home team. You have to root for them. Yeah. But
the NFL is a weird lady, you know, that you never know what can happen.
Well, the loss, Aaron Rodgers hit a lot of your deficiencies. On offense and defense and your lack of talent. And
that's why he should be the MVP, because it is showing that he is the most valuable player to this team. Because when he goes down, they're not what the normal Packers are.
They were saying there was a talk. I remember, I don't know if you remember this, 6-7 years ago when Peyton Manning was out for the year for Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Indianapolis had the best record in the league the year before.
Right.
And he had his neck surgery. He was out for the entire year, and they went 2-14 year.
He was an MVP too.
He got votes for MVP because it just showed how, even though he didn't play, how valuable he was to his team.
Well, listen, I'll let you take the contestant's address, and I'm going to tell this quick story, all right? I was going to tell it after 7:30, but I'm going to do it now. This fella, now catch this. This guy, where the heck was he? He's from up in Spooner somewhere. And, him and his buddy are out fishing, and he hooks a line, Danny, right? He hooks a line. So he figures, well, I'm going to get this line out of the water. That's not good for that to be hanging around in the water and all that. So he starts pulling. Oh, guess what he finds on the end of the line? He finds a rod and reel with most of the line out. Well, what the heck? I got a nice musky rod and reel here.
Right.
So now he puts it down, and I don't know. But he just starts pulling in the line that's at the end of this rod, and I don't know, stuff was screwed up or whatever it was. Anyway, on the end of the line of the rod and reel that he found in the water was a 47-inch muskie.
Jeez.
So that's is that the hard way, the easy way to catch a 47-incher? I don't know, but maybe we can have our callers give us a call on some of the weird stuff that they've caught while fishing. And I can tell you of one right now. My brother Larry and I were out on the Rock River.
Okay.
And he starts hollering at me, get the net. Well, okay. Well, what does he have on the end of the line? He's got a really nice Fenwick rod and a Shimano reel, spinning outfit. Hey, he caught a nice rod and reel. I took it home. I cleaned it, greased it, and all that stuff. The rod was fine. You know, I just had to clean and grease the reel. I mean, there were other things that happened that day on the Rock. But, yeah, you know, you can catch some stuff like that. And we know of other people who have caught things. Have you ever caught anything like that? Or, hey, here's one real quick. My brother-in-law, we're fishing up by Eureka, and he catches a 10-speed bicycle. It had been in the water quite a while, though, I'll tell you. But he got a 10-speed bike.
Was it a Schwinn?
I don't remember what kind it was. But we had a hard time. And he could lift it up just high enough so that we could grab the tire. Because he couldn't lift it up the whole thing with his line, you know. But it came up just enough so we could grab the tire and pull this thing up. Unreal. So what have you caught anything weird like that while you're fishing?
Just crappy Zebco 202s off the bottom.
Oh, Yeah, a few of those, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But
nothing really exciting.
Nothing really good. I think one time I think I caught another rod and reel once, but I forgot all about it, you know. Probably one of those crappy ones, you know. But when my son was fishing last month down in Arizona, there's one of these areas where they stock catfish in. So he took his kids over there and he put out a couple of rods and he had the little bells on them, you know. And he did catch a catfish. And as it turns out, he ended up giving it to somebody else that was fishing there for several days, didn't catch a fish, even though these were stocked fish. But at one point, he had his rod on this railing, and he said, and how this happened, he doesn't know, because one of the guides should have stopped it or something. But he said out of the corner of his eyes, he sees his rod and reel flying through the air into the water. And so the fish took it right out. And so his wife was there, and she says, well, why don't you go get it? He says, why don't you go get it? She says, no, why don't you just go get it? So he goes in the water, gets out there up to his neck, and he never did get his rod and reel. But he was looking for it. Anyway, we got to go to a break, folks. If you got an interesting story about something that you caught while fishing that wasn't a fish, give us a call at 799-1250. We'll be right back with more of the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Welcome back to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors. So Bubba and Ole are talking before the deer hunting season, and Ole starts complaining. Ole says, I'm going to change the way things were doing this year deer hunting. Bubba asks why. Ole says, well, last year we hunted the Michikani National Forest. We didn't get a deer, but my wife got pregnant. The year before, we hunted the Nicolet National Forest. We didn't get a deer, but my wife got pregnant. Bubba asks, so what are you going to do different this year? Ole says, take her with me.
That's a good one.
Didn't see that one coming,
that's
huh?
That's funny. That's good. I like that. You know, a lot of places have... deer hunting widow weekend. A lot of bars have stuff like that, you know, widow weekend. Yeah, a lot of places are having specials, you know.
They make good money on them.
Yeah, and food. Do you have that at your place?
No.
No?
Well, back.
A bar that I frequent does that, and they have a lot of specials for the women, and they come out in droves, man.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Danny.
Hey, you think
what are you going up north for? You should be staying down here.
The guys just don't want to go out hunting. They're just not trying to get their way for their wives. Their wives are pushing them out the door so they can go out and have some fun, too.
Years ago in Green Bay, they had something where one of the Chippendale shows would come in over the hunting week. And, of course, I was deer hunting, but one of the guys...
You were dancing in the two?
Well, almost. One of my buddies who worked at the gym, we were all young muscleheads at the gym, he was recruiting guys to work as cocktail waiters. So all the guys, and my brother did it, and a bunch of my buddies did it, where they were walking around with no shirts and little bow ties on their neck, serving cocktails, and they all met. One guy ended up dating one girl that he met there, and
Yeah,
that was the great opportunity for him to meet all kinds of women.
No,
I was deer hunting, though. Now I'm not as lean as I was then. I'd never get that opportunity again.
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
Go to one of those bars that has a little bit more mature people in it.
Yeah, you'll meet like some saber tooth, like some 90-year-old.
Let's not get carried away.
That's even worse than a cougar.
Let's not go there. Yeah.
Remember saber tooth?
Yes,
old. They should be extinct.
Yep, I know that. Yep. So anyway, I was mentioning earlier. Yeah, I think you heard me when you were in the bathroom that Smokey's Muskie Bait and Tackle Shop has got a lot of suckers. Guys are catching muskies on the suckers. They're getting them. But they seem like this year there's been more bigger fish caught this year than last year.
Well, that's good. They're growing.
Yeah, and but more 40-plus inchers this year, more 50-plus inchers this year than last year.
There was a golden era about a dozen years or so ago when a whole bunch of, you know,
big fish were caught.
Yeah, a bunch of big fish were caught. And then it kind of seemed like the size kind of was down, but it's going back up again.
You ever notice how stories of big fish, the fish keep getting bigger in the stories? You know, one guy tells one guy something, then that guy tells somebody else, and it goes around. By the time it gets back to you, it's like I'll never forget years ago, the DNR, they were on Pewaukee, and they measured, they netted a muskie that was, I think it was like 53 inches or whatever. Within 2 weeks, a guy calls the radio show, is telling me about the 100-inch muskie caught, you know, trapped on Pewaukee Lake. And I said, what? This fish kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger as the days went by.
That's beer talk. You know, you go to any local bar and they'll all tell you the DNR netted a world record on their lake.
That happens up north a lot.
Oh.
The DNR was up here last week.
Yep, they got the world records in the lake there, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, the DNR netted it.
Yeah, and on my boat, I could see the head on one side and the tail on the other.
On our lake. So, wolves. Can we talk a little wolves, Tom?
Sure.
Here we go.
Can we shoot them first?
So last week when we were talking to our good friend Kyle Drake, I kind of alluded to this, and he said next topic he didn't want to address it. But here's what's going on. I'll just kind of get into it a little more in depth than I just briefly touched on it with my question last week. Some northern Wisconsin legislators are proposing a bill that would end state efforts to manage wolves and force police to ignore killings unless the federal government finally removes them from the endangered species list. So basically, Representative Adam J-A-R-C-H-O-W, Mary Felskowski, and Romaine Quinn, as well, those are representatives, as well as Senator Tom Tiffany, I guess, hopefully I spelled those right. They basically are the ones who are kind of introducing this bill, and basically what it would do...
Can they do that?
Well, if this bill is passed... Yeah, because here's what happened. The governor in Idaho, Governor Butch Otter, actually did that same thing with an executive order a while back, where he declared that they won't manage wolves anymore or investigate illegal wolf killings. So it's basically saying the DNR ain't going to manage them, the state's not going to manage them, and guess what? Law enforcement ain't going to investigate nothing. And that actually forced the hand of the feds to then remove the gray wolves from the endangered species list in Idaho, thus allowing them to manage them and hunt them. Now, right now, there is a bill in the U.S. Senate to remove them from the endangered species list for the states of Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, Wyoming, but it's sitting there in the U.S. Senate, and they're not voting on it.
Yeah, that could take forever.
Right. So this is kind of a bold move to force their hand.
It would be real nice if Governor Walker were to sign that. I mean, because, you know, with as many wolves are in this state, and there's a lot more in Minnesota.
Well, they're saying there's close to 1,000, and they initially started trying to manage the number when it was like half that amount.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're not hunting or trapping them at all.
If they were not managed and people could just shoot them like they do coyotes... We'd still have wolves here 10 years from now.
Well, now, once this came out, about 10 nature wolf lover tree hugger organizations came out and basically said that if this happened, that they'd basically be wiped out and every wolf would be killed gone.
I doubt it.
Well, nope. I don't know. Those northerners, they'd be shooting everyone they saw up there. They'd definitely take a hit, imagine if it was deer season, all the people in the woods, they'd be wiping a bunch of them out. I don't want to see the wolves wiped out, but I think this is a way of saying, hey, you guys have to do something. Otherwise, guess what? You're not going to regulate them at all.
Yeah.
And we're going to You know, so I think it's a real bold move. Maybe one of these weekends we can try and get one of these representatives or the senator on and talk to them about
it. That would be interesting.
I'm sure they're from northern Wisconsin,
yeah.
And I'm sure we'd hear their viewpoint because mm-hmm. they're basically reflecting the pulse and the feelings of the people that they are representing up there.
Exactly, exactly. And that's the way the people feel up there.
But they really got to remove them. I mean, if it's sitting in the U.S. Senate now, I mean, right now, our Senate and Congress, I mean, half the time these overpaid legislators aren't getting anything done.
No, they're not doing
anything.
They're
not getting anything other than arguing and fighting with each other all the time and playing dirty politics, and I'm sick of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pass something. Someone, you know, call your representatives, you know. Maybe we ought to contact our representatives in the Senate and as Wisconsinites and say, hey, listen, get this going.
Yeah.
You know, vote on it so they can get them delisted. But I'm sure they're all worried about, you know, tax reform and Russia and everything else, you know, but they're not worrying about this particular bill, I guess.
I guess not. I guess it's low on the totem pole.
Yeah, it's low.
But maybe, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe if people were sending emails to the governor or whatever, I mean, he's done some bold moves in the past, some that we agree with, some we don't. But
see, I think that the thing to do would be to get a hold of our representatives in the Senate.
Yeah.
Because if they're the ones that are supposed to be voting on it, if the bill already has been introduced, which
right,
it sounds
yeah, yeah.
like from what I read,
now are you talking
it has.
The Wisconsin Senate?
No.
The federal Senate.
That's what we need them to do. Is pass the bill that removes them from the endangered species list, which then allows the DNR to manage them the way they want. And the DNR wants to have a controlled hunt and manage the numbers.
Yeah.
Obviously, the DNR doesn't want the Wisconsin bill to pass because that would mean that they couldn't say anything about the wolves.
Yeah.
And they'd basically be like, you know, open season. You know, they obviously don't want that.
That would be fine with me. Open season on wolves. That'd be great. That would be wonderful.
For a day or two, I'd go up there and try and get a wolf pelt.
I think open season year-round would be good. Yeah.
Well, then
but that's the way I feel about it.
Well, then you're one of those that doesn't want any wolves whatsoever.
Well, no, I don't
you
mind.
You want zero Wisconsin wolves, because that's what there would be.
I don't mind if there's a pack of wolves, just one pack, way up there in Shawamagon somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can have one pack. That's okay.
I don't mind some wolves. I mean, Douglas County has the Empire Pack running the river valley. I wasn't there hunting the one year. My brother said it was that year with the fog. I don't know if you remember. There was years back, there was an opening day fog all over the state. And he was in his stand in the dark in the middle of nowhere, miles back. And even before first light, the wolves started howling and it was echoing up and down the river valley in the fog.
Yeah.
He said it kind of raised the hair on the back.
Kind of a little eerie.
A little eerie.
A little eerie. Hey, we got to go to a break, folks. But if you got any thoughts or comments you got a comment about the wolf situation or anything, really, you can give us a call at 414-799-1250. We'll be right back with more with Danny Bush, me, Tommy the True Neubauer, and Greg Janik on the boards. We'll be right back.
It's the final countdown.
Welcome back to the Midwestern Shooter Supply. Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Greg's pointing at me. I'm pointing at you. You should have pointed back at Greg.
Hey, buddy. I never point a finger at anybody. When you point a finger at someone, there's three pointing back at you. That's right. We ain't pointing no fingers here. So
you're leaving sometime today. Going up to Douglas,
yeah, I'm
going up to
my
Douglas County.
No. I got that beautiful land sitting there. I got a 40 acres that nobody's even hunting on up there.
Is that
and it's next
no
to miles of county forest?
Is it because there's no deer there?
No, there's there. You know, I was sitting there years ago at one shot. I hunted there 2 years in a row on this 40, which my uncle owned at the time,
mm-hmm.
and I decided to go there because my brother had been bow hunting and had jumped a really big buck. In a doe, so I set up a stand. I shot two small bucks, but one year I told my uncle, who gets antsy, I said, not the uncle that owned this 40, the other one, I said, I'm gonna sit all day, just leave me alone over there and don't bother me. So sure enough, about noon, I hear that's not a good sound of a four-wheeler, but you know what I'm trying to make the sound of a four-wheeler. I hear the four-wheeler coming. And I'm like, God dang, don't tell me. And it's getting closer and closer. So sure enough, he drives all the way to me. Now I'm hunting about 150 yards off the edge of the Nemadji River, just on the edge of a big ridge, little maple knoll, and then a thick cedar swamp. And he says, did you see it? See what? Big buck, he goes. Big buck. He says, all I saw was antlers. Big buck and doe. He says, I thought they were running right to you. So I said, no. And he left. About 5 minutes later, across the river, I hear bang, bang, bang. And about 15 minutes later, a four-wheeler coming right to where I heard the shots. And then a four-wheeler leaving from where I heard the shots. I am quite convinced that he chased that big buck. They like to cross the river. That's like a known escape route for them to go from one side to the other. It can be pretty shallow in spots. They can wade, or they can swim right across it.
Sure.
And I'm quite sure that he chased that big buck right across the river. And back then, you could take four-wheelers in and drive through there. Then they recently, they put a trail through there. I don't think it's the Ice Age Trail, but it was close to my uncle's land where they contacted him about possibly paying for that land to bring the trail through. But since that time, you can't take four-wheelers back in there, so nobody's been hunting across the river. And they got to come in from a long ways. I mean, it's a big hike to get back. You want to talk remote. This is remote stuff where you could get on a buck track and just go. And not cross fences and go and try and do it Benoit style to hunt up a buck. But now I actually own that land across the river, and I've never even crossed the river to be on it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I hunted, you know, actually the majority of the land is across the river. I would hunt on our side by the cabin. And like I said, I shot a couple small bucks there. But one of these days, maybe I got to go up there. But I can hunt in such a good area in Sparta, you know, where, I mean, there's so many deer there. Well, but someday... I'll probably be back up there in Douglas County.
Well, I got a question for you. Are there any fish in that river?
It's interesting that you say that, Tom. It's real red clay, that red kind of clay. So the river is like brown, but it's not polluted.
It's not dirty water. It's just got a tinge to it.
Tint. It's brown. Okay. It's like a brown red clay. Now, years ago, my dad... They used to throw dynamite in the river, and they'd collect the dead suckers downstream. Farm boys, you know. One time they tried to blow a tree up. And then another time they put a set net. Now, you know, like I say, this is past the statute of limitations. Dad's dead now, and these are my uncles. Anyway, they put a set net down there, and they would get suckers. But sometimes they might get a walleye, rarely. And then one time they went to pull the net up. They were like high school kids, and something was straining the net. They pulled on this pole, and they're pulling, and this giant head came up. Giant head. And they all freaked out, and then the net tore. And years later, they said that had to have been a sturgeon. Now, this runs into Lake Superior. It does run into Lake Superior. And in the early 70s, the St. Louis River at that time was totally polluted. Nobody fished it.
Right.
But just as the St. Louis River was starting to clean up a little bit, people started trolling for walleyes kind of near the mouth, kind of near where it goes into Lake, you know, it goes into Lake Superior, kind of near that area, not upriver as much. And at the same time, people started fishing that Nemadji River right as it goes into the town of Superior. And guys were sitting on shore, I remember as a kid, seeing them with stringers and nice walleyes. Fishing with leeches on the bottom, just kind of sitting by this muddy river in July. And we actually went and trolled that river with crawler harnesses because my grandma's neighbor was trolling and getting four or five walleyes a day, up to 5 pounds, trolling with crawler harnesses in the river. And it widens out a lot more. Where I deer hunt, it's real narrow, way up there, miles away. But near that mouth area, there were people getting walleyes. We trolled with crawler harnesses. And we didn't, maybe got one or two small walleyes, but what we did get many, many years ago, we got a muskie. It was a Great Lakes muskie, not planted. It was one of the original Great Lakes. We caught like a 30-inch spotted muskie trolling a crawler harness there. So that had to be one of the rare remnant strains left. Now, since they've stocked and reintroduced them, But, you know, I drive over that river in the summer, and there's not a single person sitting on the bank. And I think to myself, what if I – the walleyes were there in, like, when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I was – I'm thinking, how old was I? Maybe 8 years old in 1968, you know, 1966. They were there in the 60s, and nobody's fishing that. I'll bet you I could go fish walleyes on that river and catch them this summer, and nobody's fishing. They're all over on the St. Louis River. It's all cleared up. It's not polluted anymore.
Yeah.
So that's the big fishery. The sleeper one is to go over to the Nemadgee, especially if you want to fish from the shore with leeches and catch walleyes.
Yeah.
I've thought of doing that. It'd be fun. Just relax, and fish.
I think that would be...
We'll try that this summer.
Yeah. Yeah, you should try that. You know, on that we were talking about the Fox River earlier. You know, they started stocking. I mean, that river was really dirty, really, really bad. And they started with the Clean Water Act and all that. It started cleaning up, and the paper mills had to put some kind of compound into their stuff when they were discharging stuff back out into the river to reduce the molecular compound, you know, big strained, whatever. Anyway, but they started stocking that in the late 70s. And by the early 80s, I started fishing up there. I think it was about 1981 or 82, something like that. Danny, I am not kidding you. And there were not that many people on it. Very, very few. Very few anglers.
Right.
You would get a bite on every cast. You would get a bite on every cast, and you might not catch every fish that bit, but it was like every other cast you'd catch a fish almost, or every second or third. Yeah. It was like unbelievable.
And there weren't that many people.
No.
People trying to kind of keep it quiet at first? Was that kind of a tight-lipped thing?
I don't remember if people were keeping it quiet or not, but I'm telling you, I had a guy. Now, I didn't know it was illegal for me to guide up there, because you have to have a charter captain's license to guide up. You know, from the Bay of Green Bay, it's up to the first dam.
Great.
So
actually, now guys that guide on Winnebago and stuff have gotten there just because if they start pushing that limit, it's part of the Great Lakes system.
But that lock is closed at the pier. But anyway, and so it was like I didn't know it was illegal to be guiding there. But I had one guy. After 2 hours, he actually got bored of catching fish. Now, these weren't monster fish.
Right.
They were anywhere from 16 to 22 inches. But he got bored. He was catching them almost not every cast, but every other cast. Yeah, can you imagine catching that many fish and then just getting bored of catching walleyes? And there was a time when it was like that. Is it like that now? No. No. Because you got a cajillion people up there fishing.
In fact, I got friends who used to fish from shore up there, and then they built some pier there, and they said it's too much of a you-know-what show, and they won't even go there anymore.
Yeah. But if you go in the fall, fewer people, fewer boats, and especially the nastier the weather, the better it is for the angler. But anyway, hey, I've had a great day today, Danny.
Yeah, me too. And then good luck. Thanks. Now, next week I do plan to be back. Greg was asking now. I'll give you a call later and let you know for sure. Hopefully I have a buck down. If not, and hunting sucking, then maybe I won't be here on Saturday, so I'll call and let you know.
All right. Sounds great.
All right. That's all I got.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yep.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors. Good luck hunting, and talk to you all next week, my friends.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.